Hello, good evening. I'm just honored and thankful to be able to be here with you guys this evening. I'm really thankful that God uses us in spite of our weakness. And it's really amazing to me that, so when James asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, he didn't tell me what you guys were doing, what series you were in, or even what to talk about. But the cool thing was that God has been just teaching me something in this season. I feel like it's been, have you ever been in a long season where you feel like it's just, is this season ever going to end that I'm in? And you go into another long season and you're like, is that season ever going to end? I'm convinced that's what our lives are full of, long seasons, right? Of just one to the next. And some of them are good seasons. Some of them are hard seasons. But this season that my wife and I, our family, has been in for the past couple months has been a up and down, I feel like a roller coaster. And God has been teaching me something that I think he's wanted to teach me for many, many years. And so I'm going to talk with you guys about that, if you'll allow me to, tonight. And it really is interesting because it fits a lot with the theme of what you guys are in right now, what you guys are learning and studying as a church. And so I don't think that's an accident. I feel like God has woven those stories together. So it's really cool for me to share just the journey that I'm on, the journey that my wife and I and our daughter, which our daughter, I apologize, our daughter's not here tonight. We thought it'd be easier if, you know, a one-year-old wasn't running back and forth through the aisle. She learned how to walk, and so she's everywhere. So you'll thank me because that would distract me, and I'd be wondering if she's going to get into things that she shouldn't get into. And so it's better all around. You'll meet her soon when I don't have to preach and worry about that. But yeah, we've been in a journey, a journey this past season that we've been in. And I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but just, in short, I was a pastor. Still am a pastor, just not a pastor of a church right now. God, that's something I've learned in this season as well, is that God doesn't de-pastor somebody. He's not in that business. But we've stepped back from ministry for a season in our life, and that's been it's been simultaneously the most rewarding thing, but also the hardest thing that we've ever done. You take a lot of faith when you do that, and you step back from something that you love and that you at the same time is very challenging. And God rewards you, and He teaches you a lot of things in that. One of the things that we have learned in that is just God's love, just how much He loves us. Our family, and me in particular, I've learned how much God loves me, how much He loves His children. So I want you to get to know me before I start, because before, when I would have come here, if I was a pastor, or even before, you know, if I would have been somewhere else, I would have probably described myself a lot differently. I probably would have said, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm all these things, and those things that I do would have defined me. But now, I'm just going to simply say my name is Cole, and I'm a child of God. And so that's really what God has taught me, is this shift from, you know, not adhering to the things that I do, but actually, you know, being who I am called to be, which is a child of God, and who we're all called to be. And that's really the one thing that matters the most in this world. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how much money we make. It doesn't matter all these things that we can put on ourselves. The one thing that truly does matter is that we're children of God. And if we're actually living out the calling that He has for in our lives, and the number one, you know, thing in that calling is being a child of God. So I used to and still do from time to time struggle with putting my worth and value in what I do instead of who I am. And I think we all do that from time to time. You see, I realized that no matter how hard I worked and no matter how hard I tried to earn approval or love, I was never going to find it in that. That's not how real love works. Not how God's love works. First John 4, 9 through 10, and I think it's actually on the, on the screen. It says, God showed how much he loved us. And this might be a different translation than the one that I have. But I really like the translation. The one that I'm reading out of is in the NLT. And I'll show you why in just a second. It says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And then it says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I just want to hone in on that part. This is real love. Not that we loved God. So God is the one that is showing love to us first. It says not that we loved God. So it already assumes that we are not lovers of God in the beginning. That we're born, not... We have a perplexity, sorry, that's a hard word to say, a propensity, I'll switch to that, to sin. And so therefore, God is the one that actually lavishes his love upon us. And I love that description. It says, this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Also, it says that God showed his love to us. How did he show it? How did he show it? With an action, right? He sent his Son. It wasn't just a matter of words. It wasn't just saying, hey, I love you, but I'm not going to back that up. He said, I love you in the most resounding way possible. He sent his Son to die as a sacrifice for our sins. And so in this picture, we see God as showing love as an action, which leads me to my point. You can write this down on a piece of paper. Sorry, I didn't have a... I know James sometimes maybe has like a... I don't know if he has like an outline where you can write things in. I'll make one up so you guys can... so you can just write this down. But love does. That's what... Remember that. Because a lot of times we can say we love something, but you guys have all heard the term like the proof is in the pudding, right? Or, mean what you say. So... we see that God actually followed through on his word. And it said that he showed it as an action. He sent his Son. So love does. One of my favorite authors, his name is Henry Nouwen. How many of you guys have heard of Henry Nouwen? You guys haven't? He's a really great author. He's a Catholic priest, or he was a Catholic priest. He's passed away. And our theology may be a little bit different, but I still believe that we can learn a lot from people in their writings, because he speaks right out of Scripture, and there's a lot of things that he has that he's written about that have really just touched my heart. He's since passed away, but he had many written works that were so amazing. And the reason why they're so amazing is because he writes with a unique rawness. And like, he isn't trying to impress you with his writing, but he's just like you. He's sharing from his heart. Have you guys read that? Whenever you read somebody that says, this guy thinks he knows that, or this woman thinks they know everything. And it's almost like they're trying to impress you with their writing. And that's fine. Maybe scholarly works, that's fine, because sometimes you need to in order to prove your point. But in his writing, it's so amazing because there's a rawness about it. It's unique to a lot of writings that I've come across, to where there's just a humility that you can tell through the writing to say that I don't have it all figured out, but here's what God, through his Holy Spirit, has taught me. And so I love that about him. And like I said, if you go look him up, you'll find out that he was a Catholic priest. And there's going to be some differences in theology, but I believe there's a lot that we can... that we can, and I have actually learned from the humble works of Henry Nouwen. One of his books in particular has been special to me. It was sent to me by a friend just probably 6 months ago in a rough season I was going through. This season has been long, so it was in the beginning spiral of this season that I have been in. The book is called The Inner Voice of Love, and you can write that down if you want to look into it. It's a compilation of his journal entries that he wrote over a two-year period when he was experiencing a lot of hardship. And there's just so much packed into that. And some of his close friends said, you need to, I think he gave it to one of his friends and said, here's what God has kind of been speaking to me. And the person said, you need to have this published. And he said, no, I could never do that. It's just too raw. And until he prayed about it, until God really prompted him to say, you know what, there's other people that have experienced hurt. There's other people that have experienced some of the same things that I went through. And I really believe that God could use this. And so he did. And so it's called The Inner Voice of Love. But I just want to share this short passage, and I'm not going to read a lot of it, but they're short journal entries, and sometimes I'll read them alongside scripture in the morning. And one of the journal entries that I really enjoy, it's called Come Home. And here's just a small piece of that. It says, there are two realities to which you must cling. First, God has promised that you will receive the love that you've been searching for. And second, God is faithful to that promise. So stop wandering around. Instead, come home and trust that God will bring you what you need. Your whole life you've been running about seeking the love you desire. Now it's time to end that search. Trust that God will give you all that God will give you that all-fulfilling love. Just stop running and start trusting and receiving. I think that's so powerful because our whole life we and he's saying this from his perspective, but I believe a lot of us can actually put ourselves in that as well and just say that our whole life we run around and we chase for love and acceptance. And he just said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit just said to him, stop running. Just stop. Stop trying to search everywhere. And just know that I am the love that you're looking for. I am the acceptance that you're looking for. And I believe that's what God was saying in this passage up here too, to say that I am real love. I know how to give you real love. I sent my only son so you know how much I love you. And you're searching for it everywhere else, but you're not going to find it. James told me that the series you're going through right now is about loving God and loving people. And two commandments, those are the two commandments that Jesus gave his followers, right? They said, what are the greatest commandments? He said, love the Lord your God, with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and then, love others. And those are valuable, but they're impossible if we don't know how to love. And we can only know how to love if we receive it from God, right? I mean, that's honestly a lot of people that don't, and this is harsh, but people who have never experienced the love of God don't know how to love other people, genuinely, if we're being honest. And for me, that's really struck me in this season because as I said, we took a step back from ministry. And God really spoke to me in this season. I went down to a place in North Carolina, in the mountains of North Carolina. I stayed there for a whole week. And there was no cell phone service. There was nothing. It was just a cabin. And it was me and God. And not everybody can do that. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to do that. But God really spoke to me in that time. And he just showed me his unconditional love that just there was no condition to it. There wasn't anything I had to earn. There wasn't anything I had to be. It was just be in me is what he told me. And I remember just feeling his love and his presence. And I think that's what he wants more than us to. Yes, he wants us to speak to him. He wants us to pray to him. But I think he just wants to commune with us. I think he wants to just be with us, and he wants to for us to receive that love because we don't know how to love other people if we don't first receive that from our Heavenly Father. 1 John 4:16-19 says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in God, or sorry, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He first loved us. And so here it's saying that if we have fear of punishment, then it means that we haven't fully received God's love. Because if we've received His full love and the full grace that He has to give to us, we know that we don't have anything to fear. And that we just know that our Heavenly Father will love us and give us the power to love others in the same way that He has. And then that end part, it says, we love each other because He first loved us. As I said earlier, we can only know true love from God. It says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God. You cannot separate the two. God is love. True love, that is. Not the fake imitation of love. So in order to know how to love others, we have to receive His love. We love each other because He first loved us. When we have received God's love, then we know what it's like to truly love other people that are hard to love. And this is my next point that I want to give you guys. It's lead with love. So what does that mean when I say lead with love? Anyone want to take a crack at that? Lead with love in this context. So I like it the way that I'll give you the definition, at least from a book that I read. Bob Goff has a book that actually says it's called Love Does. He says, I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them. He also says, most people need love and acceptance a lot more than they need advice. That, to me, just really struck me, because what's our first instinct that we go to when we see people that, you know, we don't like what they're doing, or, you know, how they're dressed, or what, how they're talking, whatever it is? It's the need to fix them, right? To say, there's something wrong with you. Well, there's something wrong with inherently with all of us. And so I love that he just says, I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them. And I believe that's what Jesus did, right? If we look in the Gospels, that ultimately he said, you know, the woman at the well, we see that picture perfectly where he sits down and he says, you know, come sit with me. And he asks her questions, and she doesn't deny that she's got things in her life that are really messed up, right? And he says, I know all that. I still want to be with you. I just want to sit with you. Is that okay? You know, and it probably was that creeped her out a little bit, because that was just so uncharacteristic. I wonder if we're like that with other people, if we have an agenda in the back of our mind, because, you know, Jesus, he wanted to show that person love. And that was his agenda. So if we have an agenda, it better be to love people, not to get them to a certain point where we think they should be. And God's gonna work in their life. If they truly want to experience the love of God, they're going to experience it through us. Because, you know, that second quote says, most people need love and acceptance a lot more than they need advice. Wouldn't you say that's true? I mean, there are a lot of people that need advice. That's probably true as well. But I would say first and foremost, they need to know that they're loved and accepted. And Elise and I used to talk about, in the church that we were at, we had a group. It was a young adult group, and it was called Belong. And the whole mantra of Belong was that you could belong in, you know, as a part of our community before you had to become anything. And so a lot of people feel like they have to clean themselves up to go to church, right? Make themselves shiny and squeaky clean, and then they can join the party. And we said, no, you join the party, and God's going to do the work, and He's going to work in your life in ways that we don't know. It's his mystery. We don't know how He gets a hold of people. He gets a hold of their hearts. This is Holy Spirit, obviously. We know, but that's the great mystery of the gospel, is that God stirs up this grace in our heart, and therefore we love Him, and we receive that love from Him. Therefore, we want to follow, you know, Him. And so our whole idea was just that somebody could belong before they become anything else. And so we say, let's just come. We just want to be with you. We don't want to fix you. We just want to be with you. I believe that's what Jesus was all about. When we lead with love, God's love, that is, we have truly received from Him. Sorry, let me read that again. When we lead with God, when we lead with love, God's love that we've truly received from Him, we aren't worried so much about fixing people so much as we are being with them. It's the same thing God does with us. How many of us know the difference between shame and conviction? Does anybody know the difference between shame and conviction? Shame leaves you feeling dirty and unwanted and like you can never do anything right, right? Conviction leaves you knowing that you made a mistake, but that you are not a mistake. Does that make sense? I'm going to read that again. Shame leaves you feeling dirty and unwanted and like you can never do anything right. Conviction leaves you knowing that you made a mistake, but that you are not a mistake. One is caused by Satan and our own feelings or what others say about us, and the other one only comes from the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we try to get those mixed up. That's why it's so important for us to lead with love, because that's what God does for us. I remember a specific time where I had sinned, and I was so ashamed. I was almost too ashamed to face God again. But you know what I heard from God when I finally did? I love you. And he told me, it was clear as day, I know this, because I feel like there's just an impression upon my Holy Spirit that just said, Cole, you can have this sin, but I have so much more for you. He didn't beat me up or leave me feeling worthless. He just said, I'm here and I love you, but I have so much more for you. That's the way I think Jesus wanted us to treat each other, fellow believers and non-believers alike. John 13, 34 through 35 says, So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So how we love each other is actually going to rub off, and it's going to make a difference. It's going to tell people that we are God's children, that we're His disciples. It's not about how much Bible knowledge, how much theology, or whatever you want to put in that blank. It's not about all that stuff. It's by our love. And so I want to ask you, how have you been loving others? Have you been loving others the way that God loves you? Or the way that you want to love others? Let me pray with us. God, I'm so thankful for Your love, Your never-ending love. God, yes, there is truth that says that you desire our hearts, but we have to willingly give them to you. God, I'm thankful for the season that and the journey that you've had me on. Because I love your truth. Sometimes I felt like I was just so legalistic in my mind. And I had way too high expectations for myself that I could never meet. And then it's like I found your grace and everything changed. I found your love. And I realized that I was never going to measure up in my own strength. So God, I pray for each person here that they would know that you love them relentlessly. I pray for each person that we come into contact with outside of these walls, that we would show that relentless love to those people. That your love working through us would actually enable us to love people that are hard to love. God, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit, and we ask that you would just continue to teach us. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm not anything special. So God, even when I leave and I walk out of this building, I pray that you would still teach us through your Holy Spirit. You would teach us something every day through your word, through your truth, through the songs that we sing, through the world that you've made. God, I pray that you would just help us to glorify you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.